I want you to turn with me today to the book of Colossians. We're going to have a little bit of Colossians for Christmas. I want to talk to you today about Christmas hope. Aren't you thankful that in Jesus Christ we have genuine hope? Amen? I wouldn't want to live in this world going through the life without hope. But people all over the world are living their lives without a genuine hope. And today I want us to see in Scripture the hope that we have. Because in Christ, every one of us has a genuine hope. We have the promises of God, the promises of heaven. We have the promise that our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. We have all these promises, and we have hope today. So turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 1, chapter 1, and read through verse 14 today. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. So he's writing to the church there in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now I want to focus on verses 4 and verse 5. Listen to this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now the word there in verse 13, where it talks about conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, this word was used when kings took captive those people and they would bring them into their kingdom. And so it's saying that Christ has taken us captive from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. Amen. Are you thankful for that? It's saying we were once slaves to sin, but now Jesus has brought us into His kingdom and we are free. Hallelujah. I love that. Well, my focus today is on hope. And we hear the word hope all the time. But church, in our culture, they do not understand genuine hope that we have in Christ. They use the word hope all the time, and hope is an anticipation of something good, but it also is with the understanding how much God loves us, how great He is, and that He's going to bring that to pass in our lives. That's genuine hope. The hope of this world says, well, I wish that would happen, but I really don't have any idea if it is or not. In church, we have a genuine hope. Amen? Now, hope is an interesting word. And I want us to see verse 5. Look at verse 5 with me. Because of the hope. I want you to remember that. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Hope is a Greek word, elpis. And it means to desire something good with the expectation of obtaining it. That's the biblical definition of hope. It speaks of trust and confidence and security in the Word of God, in Christ Himself, and you believe that you're going to obtain what you're hoping for. I want to ask you, do you believe when you have that hope in your life that you are going to obtain it because of Christ? You should. That's what it's talking about. Now, in this passage, Paul is saying, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God, our Father, and I thank Him because of what I've heard about you to be true. And what did he hear about them? There are two things that he heard about the people in Colossae, in that church. Their faith and their love. Everybody say that with me. Their faith and their love. Let that sink in. Paul was hearing about the faith that the people in the church in Colossae had and their love. It was a church that was known to have genuine faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. They believed the Word of God and they loved one another. How many would like to go to that church? You're in that church. I said, you're in that church. Amen. We believe in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Christ who died on the cross for us. He shed His blood for us. He cleansed us in that blood. And we are forgiven. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. We are righteousness of God in Him. We're a church of faith, and we're a church of love. We love one another. We care about one another. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, in verse 5, there's two words translated because of. And it's in the Greek. It's only a three-letter word, D-I-A, dia. And it's usually translated because of or through. And it has the idea of by means of. And it's translated because of, through, or by means of. And so what is Paul saying here? He's saying because of hope, by the means of hope in Jesus, that's what brought about the faith that you're living in Jesus, and the love of God that you're demonstrating. It's because of hope. Hope. In verse 4 and in verse 5, again, Paul is saying, I've heard this about you, that you have an unshakable commitment to Jesus Christ. How many want that testimony? Amen? That's what when my life is over and people remember my life, I pray that they remember that I was a man of faith. That I live by faith, that I believe the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, that I believed in miracles, I believed in healing, I believe that Jesus sets us free from anything in this world that holds us back, and I believe that there's a heaven to gain. Amen? I want to be that person of faith. Now, the second thing he is saying is that he noticed their unconditional caring or love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want that testimony too. How about you? Have you ever noticed that there are just some people that are not easy to love? Oh, come on, be real. Some people just kind of rub you the wrong way. Some people, it's difficult to love. But this church loved all the brothers and sisters, it says. All. It's in there. Read it. Even the ones that were more difficult to love, they loved one another. How did they do that? Because they had hope. And that hope produced in them a love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so thankful for that. I love that. These two things are mentioned. That they loved the Lord Jesus, they had faith in Jesus, and they had that commitment of faith to Jesus, and they loved one another. So Paul observed their love for all the saints. They distinguished themselves because of their faith and their love. But the biblical use of the word saints sometimes throws us. And I want to just touch on that. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you've committed your life to following Him, you've come into His family, then God's Word says you are part of the family, you are a saint. A saint isn't someone who through their lifetime has just exemplified themselves in their walk with God. It's every one of us because we're saints because of Jesus. We're holy because of Jesus. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I want you to turn to somebody this morning and tell them, you're a saint. We're His children, and because of that relationship, we begin to love like God loves. We have faith in Him and in His Word, and we follow Him. We're committed to Him. And we're made holy, church, through Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that today? Turn to somebody and tell them, you're holy in Jesus. Another way this is translated is this way. You have come to grasp these things by means of hope. You've come to grasp the faith. You've come to grasp the love by the means of hope. What things is it talking about? It's talking about the unconditional caring. It's talking about love. It's talking about steadfast faith in the Word of God and in Jesus our Savior. Now, verse 5 describes this hope. Look at verse 5 again. It's because of the means of hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Well, what does that mean? It's a combination of things. It means that we have eternal life. When we breathe our last here, the last beat of our heart, we are taken instantly into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? That's the hope that we have. That's what it's talking about. We have a hope that heaven is where we're destined. Amen? It's going to come to pass. We have that hope. It's not only endless life, though, church. It's endless life in the presence of our Creator. in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to be in the presence of God for eternity. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but that ought to start off the celebration of Christmas for you today. Amen? Heaven is real. It's not something that some crazy pastor made up. Amen? It's the Word of God. It's the promise of God. And because of that hope that heaven is real, it produces that faith in Jesus, that steadfast faith, and it produces in us a genuine love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, that's precious. Some people have a misunderstanding about heaven. You know, the cartoons always show floating on a cloud, and there's an angel there, and he's playing a harp, and somebody's tossing grapes into your mouth, and you're just kind of floating. Some people think that heaven's going to be Disneyland, some kind of Disneyland. The way Disney's going, I guarantee you it's not going to be a Disneyland. But what is heaven? The greatest thing, church, is the presence of the living God, our Creator, the one who created the universe, the one who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Heaven. Now, some people also think, well, my life has been kind of boring, and I don't know if I want to live forever. They may have a life that to them seems meaningless. It seems difficult. It seems that it's just a drudgery. In church, I want you to know without any doubt. Now, I don't know what agenda that God has for us in heaven. But I guarantee you it will be more fulfilling than anything you've ever experienced in this life on earth. Why? Because God created us with purpose. He created us with a plan. And heaven is going to be fulfilling. It's going to have purpose. And you're going to love it. It's going to be greater than anything you can imagine. I had a dear friend of mine, Dr. Collier, years ago when I was a young man just starting in the ministry. And he was a good friend and a mentor to me. And he had a heart attack. And he died in the hospital room. And he was gone for about 7 minutes. And they couldn't bring him back. And then God told him it wasn't time yet. And instantly, he was back in his body. But I asked him, what was heaven like? And he said, it was the greatest sense of peace that I've ever experienced. He said the colors were so vivid and there were colors that we don't have on earth. He said the beauty was just beyond anything. I just can't express it. There's no way to express what I saw and what I experienced. He said I saw friends and family and they came to me and then they parted and then Jesus walked toward me. And then right before I was going to run and I was going to hug him. But right before that he said, not yet. And he said instantly, I was back in my body. He said, when I died, he said, I began to float out of my body. He said, I looked down and there was my body on the operating table. He said, I saw the doctors and the nurses. They had me all covered. And he said, I just floated up. And then all of a sudden, in an instant, I was in heaven. But when he said, when Jesus told him, not now, he said, instantly I was back in my body. It had been 7 minutes. And he said they had given up trying to start my heart again. And he said, I set up and I scared them all to half to death. And he said, I began to shout. I began to praise God. He said, I said, Jesus is alive and I just saw him. And he began to tell the doctors and the anesthesiologists, all the other, whoever was in the room, all the different doctors and all the different nurses. He told them what happened. He said, I began to float out of my body. Y'all covered me up. You thought I was dead. And he said, you were doing this, you were doing this, you were over here, and you were doing this. And they couldn't believe it. They said, you couldn't have known that. He said, I know, I saw you. I was being carried into heaven. And then he said, if you don't know Jesus, he's real, and you need to give your heart to him. And right then and there, he led a young nurse to the Lord. Church, heaven is real. This life isn't all there is. This life is a shadow. It's a vapor, the Bible says. It's here and then it's gone. It doesn't matter I've got a good friend that's 103 and he's still alive. But even at 103, this life is short. And what matters in this life is whether we know Jesus. If whether we know what Jesus did on the cross for us, if we accept him and receive him, that's what matters in this life. Because when we say yes to him, we come with a heart that's repentant. Say, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. We become part of his family, and we have that hope of heaven. Are you thankful for that? We're going to be in the presence of our Lord. Yes, we're going to praise. Yes, we're going to worship. But that's not all we're going to do. Just like our lives now, we have duties that we take care of. We have certain jobs that we do. And we come together. And in heaven, there's going to be great times of praise and great times of worship. And some of you may be thinking, well, isn't that going to get kind of boring after a while? No. Because every time we come to worship, it's just going to be like the angelic beings around the throne when they bow down and worship him and cry, holy, holy. They lift their heads back up and they get a fresh glimpse of the greatness and the glory of God. And it starts all over again. And they cry out, holy, holy, holy again. I think there's going to be greater glimpses of God throughout eternity, greater facets and understanding. And church, how many have ever come into the church and on a Sunday morning the worship team would have a brand new song? And that song, you just really liked that song. It would be anointed. It would really speak to you. And you didn't know all the melody. You didn't know all the words yet. But you jump in there and you start praising God with that new song. And it just kind of takes a hold of you. There's going to be, I believe, with all my heart, fresh, creative praise throughout eternity in heaven. It's not going to be boring, church. It's going to be glorious. And I'm thankful for that. Now, in the church in Colossae, the thought of heaven and the hope of heaven, it dominated their lives. It affected the way they lived, but it didn't dominate their lives to the point that they just sit around saying, Jesus, I hope the rapture's today because I'm ready to go. Church, we can't get caught up in that mindset. Yes, Jesus could come back anytime. With everything taking place in the Middle East, and it wouldn't take much to fulfill the Bible prophecy and for Jesus to return. But even in the midst of all the things that are taking place, That hope of heaven should stir our hearts to love one another and to be faithful and committed to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. We have this hope in this world because Christ is with us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the great heroes of faith. And it speaks about their worldview, which should be our worldview. I'm going to read you some verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That was their attitude in life. The heroes of faith, they said, this country isn't my ultimate country. Amen. Yes, I live here. We abide here now. But the country that God has for me is far greater. It's far better than the country that we live in. And they were anticipating that. And they talk about a city. There's a city that God has made for us whose streets are pure gold. The gates are made of one huge pearl. We begin to read about it in Revelations, but it's so wonderful. It's so great. It's hard for us to comprehend. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, Scripture says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. This theme goes all through Scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In the Old Testament, this theme is also seen. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Notice, Scripture says, our days on this world are without hope. This world is never going to be our hope. Our hope is eternal. It's in God. It's in Jesus. It's in heaven. That's our hope. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. There Peter's talking about having that heavenly understanding, that hope in heaven that is going to affect our lives where we live for Jesus, we live by faith, and we love. And Peter's encouraging the believers in that. Now, there might be someone here today that received a prognosis from the doctor. And the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do for you. The doctor may have even said, we give you maybe 2 weeks to live or 2 months. And there's nothing that they can do for you. Well, church, I'm here to tell you there's hope. You know, if you've been part of our family very long, that I am a pastor that believes in the Word of God, in the promises of God. And in James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I believe in praying for the sick, and I've seen God miraculously intervene in lives where there was no hope according to our doctors. And God would bring them through. One man years ago, 13 different cancer specialists said his body was eaten up with cancer. His body was jaundiced. He was yellow. His eyes were yellow. His skin was yellow. They said, this cancer is affecting you, and I don't think there's anything we can do, but we're going to open you up. When they opened him up, they didn't find one bit of cancer in his body. When he came out of the surgery, they said, we can't explain it. We don't know why you were jaundiced. And the jaundice was gone. The yellow from his eyes was gone. God had answered our prayers and touched him in the middle of his cancer. I could go on and on. A lady in church one Sunday morning fell over and was having a heart attack. She grabbed her heart and was having the pain in her arm, all the symptoms of a heart attack. And she looked at me and said, Pastor, I'm having a heart attack. And they called the ambulance. But the elders went back and we began to pray for her. By the time the ambulance got there, she was perfectly normal. She was standing up and sitting up and fine. She said, all the pain's gone. And I said, well, I believe God touched you, but I want you to go to the doctor and prove it. She went to the doctor. They said there was no evidence of a heart attack at all. There was nothing wrong with her. Church, we're a church that still believes in the promises of God. And one of those promises is that God still heals. But church, there's been other times when I've prayed with what I believe with the same faith, and the person's life wasn't lengthened. One of my good friends from school, I'd known him all my life, he passed away this summer. He had cancer. The doctors gave him 2 months, and that was about the time that he passed away. But I prayed for him and with him every day. And I was believing God that God was going to touch him and give him a miracle. But that miracle wasn't received. And church, what I want to say with that is that we win either way. If God heals us and gives us longer life, we praise Him. We have a testimony. We can continue to minister to people in this world. But if not, we have the hope of heaven. Amen. No matter what happens, either way, we win. I want to read you a verse out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 and 23. Paul's writing here and he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, how many of us, even as Christians, think about gaining when we die? But that's what Scripture says. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. In these short two verses, Paul says to die is gain and that it's far better to go to be with Jesus. Does that mean we shouldn't pray for healing? No, God's Word tells us to pray for healing. And God does manifest His healing. But church, if God doesn't manifest the healing in the situation that you're facing, I want to assure you, according to Scripture, it's far better to go to be in heaven and to die is gain according to the promises in God's Word. And we have that hope. We have that hope. Our Heavenly Father is a Father of hope, and He wants us to embrace that hope. He wants us to believe. Church, God is good if we receive a healing miracle, but guess what? God is still good if we don't. Because he's prepared a place for us in heaven. He's prepared a place for us that's so beautiful, so wonderful. And there's a simple message here I want to share with you. Church, there's hope for family problems. There's hope for your job. There's hope if you're in affliction. There's hope if you're struggling financially. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope if you need a miracle. We serve a God that is a God of hope. And the Christmas season is a season where we acknowledge that hope we have in Jesus. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And I want you to remember this first candle, which is the candle of hope. It's the candle of expectation. It's a candle where you're believing and your hope is in God and you're believing that He's going to answer. His promises are still for you. His promises are for your marriage. His promises are at your job. His promises are for your family if you're having struggles with your teenagers. His promises are for your finances. Whatever you need, there's hope today. And that hope is in Jesus. And that hope in Him produces love for others, and it produces steadfast faith in Him. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our prayer team, if they would, to come forward across the front of the platform here and to make your way around the back of the auditorium. And if you need hope today, I want you to come and I want you to pray with one of them. If you need hope in your finances, hope in your family, hope on your job, whatever area of life, maybe you want to stand in for someone else. I want you to step out with hope today. Hope with expectation. That God's going to meet you. He's going to meet you. Have that expectation. Will you come?
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.